What is going on, my friends? My name is Parker Andreis, DJ of 10 years and host of Behind the Energy podcast. I've been able to meet some pretty awesome people along the way, and we're bringing them on here to go behind the energy, sharing their stories, lessons learned, and shine light on some of their major milestones. If you're into DJing, the event industry, or entrepreneurship, I think you'll dig the show. I really appreciate you being here with me. Now that we've set the table, it's time to jump right in and get started with today's episode. All right, folks, it really is episode 49 of Behind the Energy podcast. I got that right the first time, not because I have my notes, but we're here back with my boy Logic with a K for part two. Folks, if you missed part one, you're going to want to go back and listen to that one before you enjoy this episode, if you will, because we provide a little bit of context for you. But we're going to jump right into this one. And I don't know if you've got this, or maybe if you would have expected this, where I want to go with this one. But Jay, when I saw you at the Gateway a couple weeks ago, we started talking what I thought was going to be 2 minutes, and we talked for like 35 or 40 minutes. One thing that really stood out to me is when you stopped me in my tracks, when I was kind of like being down on myself or like nervous for like a particular event.
I remember.
And you're like you literally like interjected and you're like, what, you know, like, what are you saying, Parker? You're going to go in there with the energy and you're going to go in there and kick ass and show them what you're made of. Basically, that wasn't word for word, but basically you helped me realize in the moment that I need to not doubt myself, and I need to go to each event with the level of confidence that I'm capable of bringing to the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. I think you were talking about you performing at like, was it a nightclub? Or like showing up with other bigger DJs were there. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like you got it. Like, you know, like you got to just show them what you got and who you are. And like, you can't go in there with any doubt, regardless who's in the room. Like you know, like be happy with your performance. You know, go in there and just have that passion that you push so hard on me too, you know. So it's, you know, it was easy, man. I got you.
I wanna dive, I guess, even further into that, because like I feel like Cameron Reef. And I may have talked about this on the podcast, so if I did, I apologize, but probably 2 or 3 years ago he asked me, he's like, "Hey Parker, what do you think's holding you back from like accomplishing the goals you want to in DJing in your company?" And my answer was myself. And I will never forget like when he asked me that. And my point for bringing that up is that like just a lack of self-confidence, I really think has been something that has been a big barrier for myself and my DJing for quite some time. I tend to think like overthink or overanalyze and like get in my head sometimes. What I want to hear from you with kind of providing a little context there is like, where did that level of confidence come for you? Or like, is that just part of who you are as a person? Like, have you always had that as a performer, as a DJ? Granted, you've got quite a bit more experience than I do, but like, can you kind of add on to that? Or
yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I mean, it's not just in DJing. I think it's just in life, you know, like I'm one of those guys that like, if I like buy like an IKEA furniture, I have to put it together like right then and there. Like I have to accomplish that and move on and not have that sit there. Okay. I have to finish that. If I start, you know, doing a project at home, I have to get it done quick. Like I just always been one of those that just, I just like to get shit done. And for me going into like an event or like a venue thinking that like, you know, fuck, like, you know, I'm nervous, but I'm like, no, I'm here too. Like, you know, somebody thought I should be here, so I'm here. So I shouldn't doubt myself. I should just go at it, give it all, you know, give it 110% and hope for the best, you know, hope, prepare and, you know, just go in there and just show them what you got. Cause I mean, like I said, that video that you were doing, I didn't know you had it like that. You know, and I was like, okay, like you were doing some pretty cool stuff on there. And I was like, that's dope. That's dope. And I think that doubting yourself is just one of those things that we all go through. Doesn't matter who you are, how big you are. I think a lot of people are always going to be nervous. You know, the big DJs, I'm sure they're nervous before going in, like, doing like a headlining set in Vegas, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's, you. So, I mean, you got to just believe in your craft and just, you know, prepare and practice and just put in the work. And eventually that just kind of goes away because you just do it automatically now.
Just repetition?
Yeah, very, like a lot of repetition.
So for you, maybe starting to play in some bigger clubs or working for some bigger clients or whatnot, like, did you experience that kind of like nervousness?
Hell yeah. I was nervous at first.
Like your heart's pounding and just like literally through repetition and like playing on bigger stages. And
yeah. I mean, I've
bigger
seen,
crowds.
I've seen some DJs like doing like stretches in the back, you know, like doing like just a bunch of stuff.
What are your thoughts on that?
Whatever you need to do to get ready, you know, do it. Like, you know, okay. You need to burn some incense and go, you know, light your shit right there. Do that. But I mean, I think it's just, I mean, for me, you know, it's just in my head, like when I'm driving to a gig, I'm usually not playing any music. You know, I'm usually just kind of quiet in the car. And then I get there and I already have like the first like hour of what I'm playing in my head already, you know, and then I just go off the crowd and just go in that direction. But that's just me. A lot of people are different. A lot of people, you know, prepare for it. And the whole night I tried to just like a club actually is where I'm when I'm talking about events like weddings and all that. Of course I'm always like, you know, on schedule, but
yeah.
When I go do something that I'm gonna be like nervous about, like, you know, I try to just do the best I can, you know, just stick to my lane, not go outside of it. I'm not like beat juggling or doing shit that I'm not gonna be able to do, you know, live or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I stick to like what I'm good at, like my craft. And I feel like there's been DJs here in Salt Lake that have given me some good feedback. And there's some that have given me like, yo, like, you know, you could be doing this better. You could be doing that. And then that's just kind of like, you know, where you got to have that mentality of like, you're
Thank
right.
You. Thank
I mean, yeah,
you.
Absolutely. You're right. Like, you're right. I am. Mm-hmm. I am doing that. Like, I got to get out of that, you know, that phase or whatever, where you're just kind of, you realize that they're just there to help you up, mm-hmm. you know, like help you be better or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will say, you know, that was a good music selection or that was a great set. Like, you know, if you're opening for somebody, you know, you're not playing like all the good shit, you know, before they get there. So having just conversations with people like that, you know, and listening to them, you know, because they've been around, I think it's where I'm at now. And you know, being nervous, I think is just... Are you nervous for Thursday?
Part of the process. A little bit. Yeah. But no, because this is literally the music that I love the absolute most. And when I'm having the most fun possible, I'm not
nervous. So just do that every gig. Go with that energy that you just that energy. Bring that to every gig. And I think you're going to be, you know, I get paid for doing this shit. Like, really? You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like that, you know? The hard part is like loading up and taking down and driving.
Mm-hmm.
The DJing part is fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess if you love it, like mm-hmm. love it.
Mm-hmm. A new thing I've been doing recently is so like I'll have the backup playlist downloaded on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You know, like if shit were to hit the fan, like I've got another source to play music. Oh, their music, right?
Yeah.
And something I've been doing, I guess, in the past like month, 2 months, is playing the couple's dance playlist to just like get me even more in the zone or in tune for like the atmosphere and the style that they're looking for to get me hyped up. So like a month ago, I was bumping Chicken Fried by, it like the James Brown Band or something like that?
It's a good song.
It is a banger.
It's a really good song.
It's a banger. But that's helped me get, I guess, a little bit more excited and just like stoked for like where I really get to jump in and do my thing. I actually
love country weddings, by the way. Like, I like those because they're always drunk and they're super fun. And, you know, I like the vibe, man. Like,
Do you listen to country music on?
I do. I do listen to country.
Casually, your own time?
Not casually, but I mean, if, you know, if I'm in the mood, you know, I'll throw in some old, like, Tim McGraw and shit, you know, some old stuff.
I would not have guessed that one.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of country weddings. It's just, they're fun, you know?
I'm at a point where I tell couples, just like, if you're looking for, like if they're looking for a country DJ, I'm going to suggest another DJ to be the best fit.
Nah, you gotta handle that.
But, like, if, you know, incorporating some of their country favorites, I can feel confident doing that. But I know that, you know, if they strictly want country, like, there's gonna be a DJ that can better serve them. And I get what you're saying. I also think, like, I'd rather work with someone on that same day that we're gonna be even more aligned in terms of, like, their vision, my strengths, and making that come to life. And then also better serving the couple who wants, like, all the country.
That's good. I mean, that's years of networking for you and having those types of friendships where you know you have, mm-hmm. you know, you could pick different ones to fit different mm-hmm. genres and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. I have to, you know, I have to rock all of it. So, you know, it's definitely hard, but it's nice to be able to have that in my bag.
Sharpening the blade.
Yeah. Because, like I say, you just never know.
I feel like your network is bigger than mine, bro. You've been doing this a little longer than I have.
I mean, I have friends, you know?
Yeah.
I have friends, but it's, you know, they're doing their thing. I'm doing my thing.
Okay. So, sorry, I want to jump back real quick to the topic of confidence, but I want to now kind of angle that through the lens of quoting with confidence. Dude, I think it had to have been before the pandemic, like, we were talking about just, like, you know, quoting these weddings that, you know, are requiring a lot of preparation, a lot of work, and a lot of equipment and a lot of things to consider and experience to be able to do it successfully.
Yeah.
And just talking about, you know, like, you know, our value as DJs is so much more than that, you know, $400-$600 price point. And we talked about pricing briefly.
Don't get me started on that one.
Don't get you
started. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because I think the $500, $600, there's always a DJ for that client's budget.
And yeah, and we talked about that too. Yeah. Just in passing, at the Gateway. But actually, before I go and ask my question, if you would, and I jumped in, but elaborate on what you mean by, like, you think There's a good fitting DJ for that price point versus the $1,000 price point versus the $2,000.
Like, well, I mean, I don't know if there's a, like, you're asking me if,
yeah, elaborate on your thought process in terms of, like, there's a DJ for this price point, this one, this one, this one, and this one.
Okay.
And
I mean, not knocking down any DJs, you know, that you're charging whatever you're charging. That's you.
Yeah.
You know, if you post that you need a DJ for this amount, and, you know, you get certain DJs that replied, mm-hmm. that's cool. Mm-hmm. But then there's other things that, you know, the client wants more, you know, or for me personally, I think it's more of, like, the number of guests, because then that tells me how much more I have to bring.
Equipment-wise.
And then depending on the wedding or the event, you know, preparation for, like, the type of music, you know, whatever it is they want. It's just, for example, I'm doing one and it's, you know,
Persian wedding.
Yeah. So I'm going to have just, like, a music consultation with them about that to mm-hmm. get it ready and then be on the same page. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do that again, maybe like a month before, we'll have another conversation, just make sure we're still on the same page mm-hmm. and then we can move forward to the date. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, like, I think everybody's prices have to also reflect your cost of living and your cost of how much it costs you to provide these types of services. You want to make sure, you know, you're taken care of as well. And you have, you know, I mean, just gas alone nowadays, you know, driving to venues and, you know, it's a lot. So I think it's not just DJs that have to maybe even just charge more, you know, it's just, if you're not asking the right questions, like, how do you know what their budget is?
Very true.
You know, mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine, and he's done your podcast. I'm not going to say who, but he called me right after. He's like, yo, I just landed my biggest wedding money wise.
I know who you're talking about.
And it was, and he told me, thank you. Like, yeah. And I was like, bro, you got to ask this all the time because.
Really?
Yeah. Because if you don't, if you're talking to a client and think about it like this, it's, they're getting married and let's just say, you know, just once, which is what we want. Mm-hmm. Just one wedding for the rest of their life. They want to remember that day, right? Mm-hmm. So they have a budget for the venue. Mm-hmm. They have a budget for the wedding dress, the flowers, mm-hmm. you know, the food. And then they also have a budget for the entertainment. Mm-hmm. And now DJs are the one man bands, their entertainment mm-hmm. for the whole night. So they have an amount set for that. And if you don't, you know, ask what that amount is respectfully, like, you know, mm-hmm. oh, what kind of vision do you have for your wedding? What kind of experience do you want? Do you need me for ceremony, cocktail, or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Great, great. Absolutely. I could provide all that for you. What is your budget for me for this type of event? Mm-hmm. And they tell you, and you know, like this DJ, he was quoting them like 2,000 under yeah. what their budget was.
Yeah.
And when they told him and he quoted him fair price, he was like, dude, like excited. And I'm like, that's what's up, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just a simple question. It just can go a long way. And y'all don't have to agree with me. Everybody's different. It's just,
yeah.
I've noticed that myself have had better luck with clients when you just talk to them like you and I are talking, you know? It's not like, you know, like you're trying to get as much money as you can. Like yeah, you're trying to find out. Because if I'm getting married and I tell you my budget and you stay under it, I'm going to be grateful that, you know, that you respected that and
yeah.
you took that into consideration.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So if I'm kind of like piecing this together, so one of the things that is for sure like a part of the conversation is actually asking for that quote, you know, or asking for like even like a rough idea of their entertainment budget in that conversation.
Right.
Awesome. Have you done that? Like,
yeah, I do
for,
it
for,
I do.
For some time now.
Yeah, I awesome. Do it. I do it a lot. I mean, unless it's like a client that I already have and we worked together in the past and I kind of know what I need to provide and what they expect, mm-hmm. then we already have like an understanding, you know?
Yes.
Or like a venue agreement if the venue is the one that books me. Yep. So I know what I'm going to do and what I need to provide yep. and, you know, but it all just case by case.
Mm. I like that. And case by case too, like without diving down there too much. Something that I've implemented recently that I've found that works for me, for Alive, is if we're communicating via email and mm-hmm. we've exchanged anywhere from 4 to 8 times, like back and forth, mm-hmm. It's then about that time to potentially set up a phone call to talk final details and determine that final quote and if we're going to be a great fit. One of the things that I've implemented is asking a few questions off the bat to like narrow down this big scope to like a medium sized scope and say, you know, based on what we've discussed thus far, the ballpark quote would be from here to here. Does this sound like something that's going to be in your entertainment budget? So in a way, it doesn't exactly ask them what their budget is, but it does filter like, are we somewhat aligned? And, you know, am I wasting your time or can I get you connected to someone else who's more within your budget? Or like, you know, can we get on a phone call conversation and have a great conversation and then determine that final quote? Does that make sense, Jay?
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, like I said to everybody, case by case.
Case by case.
For me personally, I find out what they need and what they want.
Yes.
And then once they tell me what they want and I find out, okay, this is your budget, I know exactly what I need to bring in order to accommodate that vision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not me charging like per hour per se.
Yes.
You know, it's me charging more for an experience.
Yes.
Because the clients don't care what cables you have, what speakers you have. What they just want you to, you know, they want you to play their music.
No.
Everybody dancing, have a good time. Everything went great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. You know?
I agree.
They don't care about equipment. They don't care about what mm-hmm. you know. I mean, mm-hmm. some might
want the sparklers or the CO2, but like,
yeah, but that's also a package that you would, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if DJs are including that in their base price, mm-hmm. you know, but I mean, some DJs don't. That's an extra add-on type mm-hmm. of thing. And that's just, you don't want to over put out like what you can bring. I think it's more is like what kind of experience do you want, and then say yes, I could provide this, this, and this, and that. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? And then the client's gonna be like, that's awesome, great.
Design it to what they're looking for.
Yeah, design it to each client because everybody's different. Each couple's different. Mm-hmm. Some couples want the party mode. Some couples want chill. Mm-hmm. Some couples, it could be like different things. So mm-hmm. for me personally, it's more an experience for a client. And then once I find out, then usually it works out pretty great because they, they're like, we're going to go with you and great. I'm sending you the contract.
It's all signed.
Then you're sleeping and the Venmo goes off and you're like, yeah. And then you go back to sleep.
That's the only notification I want to wake up to.
I mean, we talked about this, make money while you sleep.
Yeah.
Have, 6, 7, 8, 10 contracts out right now. Mm-hmm. They're all just being pending. Mm-hmm. How can I help you? Do you have any questions? I would love to help you out, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is that you need, you need to talk to the client because sometimes they're on the edge.
Yeah.
But you're reaching out. How's your day or something, Wonder if you have any questions. Great. Actually, we were just talking and we're going to actually go ahead and mm-hmm. and send the first payment today. And blah, blah. So mm-hmm. it's just, like I said, 70% of this is talking
yes.
to the client. The yes. 30% is the DJ mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
This is the level of service that you get when you get your boy Logic on the ones and twos, ladies and gentlemen. Logic, was there a point in your experience as a DJ when you realize you're like, what I'm bringing to the table and what I'm doing as an entrepreneur, a performer, a DJ, worth, much more than what I'm currently at? Like when you maybe raised your prices for the first time a significant amount. Is there a time like that in your experience DJing?
Yeah. I mean, I would say raise your prices every year, Yeah. That's just me. I mean, everything goes up. Mm-hmm. Equipment costs start being like mm-hmm. have you tried to buy some equipment lately? Like speakers or anything
Dude, I have something on back order. It's almost been a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everything went up, bro. And I'm not talking about 50, 60 bucks, like hundreds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you got to take that into consideration. Your equipment is not going to last forever. You know what I mean? And the wear and tear. So you always have to kind of like, if you're speaking a big game, you got to deliver that game mm-hmm. in quality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not showing up to a gig and oh shit, I'm trying to be current. So for that, in order to succeed in any company, you have to, charge a little bit more here and there, mm-hmm. Or just take some bigger events that help you just build off of that into your business. You know what I mean?
That challenge you to invest and basically step up.
Yeah, I mean, but the biggest investment is in yourself. You're investing all the money that you're investing into, that you're investing into your brand, because the first thing the client sees is your name, DJ Alive. Mm-hmm. Bringing the energy, your company. Mm-hmm. They don't know how good of a DJ you are. They don't know what equipment you have. The first thing they see is you mm-hmm. and what you look like, and mm-hmm. that's the selling point. Mm-hmm. Your brand.
And back to that communication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe I'm not exactly hitting the mark, but, or maybe just my experience is, probably quite a bit different than yours, but for some time I was charging significantly lower rates until I had the support of 2-3 other really great DJ friends that helped me pull my head out of my ass, quite frankly. And realize that what I'm doing and bringing to the table is far beyond the level of value that I'm current or was charging at the time. And they literally challenged me to step out of my comfort zone and charge at the value that, I'm at, the company's at. Was there any pivotal growth experiences or moments like that for you in your business, your DJing?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things that I've learned is that, like I was saying earlier, clients put money aside for the DJs, for uh-huh. their entertainment.
Uh-huh.
So you could do so much more if you just find out and talk to them about what that is. For me personally was going and sitting down. I did a wedding at Eccles, where the youths
yes.
play.
Yeah.
And it was one of the big rooms
at
upstairs.
The top. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And I went in and I met with the groom and the groom's father, and I want to say the event coordinator or the venue coordinator.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And she passed out a sheet with the budget of how much the wedding was going to cost. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, I was like, shit, mm-hmm. I need to raise my prices. You know what I mean? This is Like, I saw what the photographer was making, and I was like, damn, I'm missing out, you know? Because I wasn't asking the right questions. So, therefore, you know, I was missing out on more potential growth, money. And once I start figuring out what works for me as, you know, the product that I'm selling, once I figure that out, it just helped me more and more and more. And not saying like, you know, like everybody's different. You could do an $1,800 wedding. You could do a, you know, $500 wedding. You could do a $10,000 wedding. You know what I mean? Like there's, everybody does different things. I just say, just don't be afraid to go for that $10,000 wedding. You know, like high-end clients, why can't you do those? You know what I mean? Like you could be doing, you know, so much more if you just kind of like you said, get out of that comfort zone and start just, I guess, trying to do a little bit more than what you're used to.
Okay. So you have mentioned asking the right questions two or three times. And then also like, you know, trying, can you give me an example of either asking the right questions or like an example of like trying instead of booking at that lower rate, trying to get to that next level?
Like, I mean, like I think
basically a tip, if you will.
I mean, I think we all start off at like, you know, our comfort zone and what we think is what we're worth.
Yeah, of course.
And then, you know, eventually you learn and you have experience and then you build off of that and that you feel comfortable charging more. You're offering more. You have more experience. For me, it's just, you know, meeting with a client face to face is really great. It's something that I've learned. It works really good. And then having just open communication with them throughout the process of the booking, any questions, things like that have helped me out. And then getting to know them as far as like what they want, you know, and finding out exactly what their vision is, then I could feel comfortable giving them a higher price because I already know what they want. Versus like a, you know, a backyard wedding for, you know, somebody in Provo or something, you know. I know it's not going to be in the thousands, you know what I mean? I know it's going to be chill and that's okay too. Like I, you know, I've taken those gigs as well. So.
What I collected from that is, I mean, back to the same point that you had brought up when we were chatting at the Gateway, but like that 70-30% in the 70% being connecting and communicating with those you're working with and getting on the same page with them and not just like getting a playlist from them and having an understanding of their budget, but like actually getting on a much deeper level understanding of what they're looking for their big day, for their wedding day, what music they truly love and like the atmosphere, the feel that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And that happens through genuine and consistent communication.
Yeah, I mean, I think the more you get to know somebody, the better you could do a job for them.
Yes.
You know?
Agreed.
I've met some couples that, you know, they've given me a playlist like for cocktail hour. And they want this certain type of vibe. And then they want this vibe for dinner hour. But they were just kind of hesitant. And then once we had that conversation, they were like, yes, that's exactly what we want. We want this, this, and this, and that.
So there was an alignment?
Yeah, there was communication between them and I when they were actually kind of hesitant. But once we kept talking more and more, they're like, actually, you know what? We want this. This is our wedding. This is our day. Like, you know, like a lot of our friends from high school are going to be there. This is what we grew up on. This is what we want. Blah, blah, blah. So they made that decision, but it wasn't until like later in the process that they were more comfortable. Because other than that, they wanted just traditional. You know what traditional
some,
just
some Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Some Michael Bublé.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I love that, but like it's
but that's common. Utah weddings for you, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's Utah weddings and that's I think anybody could provide that, you know, here. There's so many DJs and we're all on the same Utah vibe. But once you get those, you know, couples that open up a little bit more as far as like their choices and the vibe and all that, I think once you bring that to the table, you can say, yes, I could do all that. I could provide all that for you. And this is what it will cost. And then they're like, great, let's do it. You know, because they just see the confidence in you that you're able to.
They're moving forward with confidence as well.
Exactly. Peace of mind.
Dude, I have to share this with you. I had a wedding just last week and like it was think like grunge 90s rock, and that was like even in their ceremony and in their cocktail hour and down to like most of their dance music. It was very unique, and I became confident with that through more communication than like I generally will have with couples and clients, like multiple phone calls, and I'm talking like 30, 45 minute, hour long phone calls, getting in alignment, to understand like their personalities and communicate that through the music they're looking for, and like not just play their playlist, but like do it with confidence in the order and manner that would make the most sense. So, it was like definitely a bucket list kind of thing. Like I'd never done like that much rock. I can't remember the song she walked down the aisle to, but it was like punk.
It's fun. Rock. It's fun. Yeah, right. Man. Doing those kind of weddings where you're just like, not sure, you know, but you end up killing it.
But it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the ones that you're like, now I could offer that too.
True.
You know what I mean?
But the reason I brought that up though is because I wouldn't have done that with confidence had I not had those conversations with her and had not put that time and energy into getting on that same level, or at least working to get to that same level, to that, so your point of communication. Okay. Before we exchange perhaps one other story, and I think we can go even deeper or crazier than the last one. In terms of the podcast you've listened and watched, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about, or maybe something you want to share, whether that be to other DJs or people in the entertainment industry?
Like a tip or something, or like what do you mean?
Honestly, whatever. Whether it's a topic you want to wrap up on, or like just your experience listening to the show, like is there something that you were hoping to chat about that maybe we didn't cover?
I mean, you guys talk about so much stuff. It's kind of hard to think about that right now.
Pretty broad,
but yeah, you guys go all over, you know, areas of of this. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that, like, young DJs, you know, like my biggest thing I could say is just protect your ears, you know?
Oh.
Protect your ears. Like, I know a lot of, like, the older DJs, and they all have the same problem, you know? They're all going, you know?
Dang.
Deaf, old ears, you know, things like that. I would say new DJs, just protect your ears, man. Invest in that. Because you don't want to be old and, huh?
Do you wear some form of protection when you're playing in louder, like, clubs?
You know what? Shit hit the fan on me already, I think. It's a little too late for it. Yeah. But, I mean, I still, if I go to concerts and I know I'm going to be, like, you know, pretty close to it, I have some that I carry with me. When I'm doing gigs now, I have just my headphones on. Uh-huh. And I have a monitor usually on the side that I want. Uh-huh. And that one's at the level that I want, and the other ear's protected. So that's what I'm doing now. But I can't DJ with like something inside of there, you know?
Yeah.
I know some DJs have the...
Have you ever done the in-ear headphone or monitors, if you will?
No.
No?
No. I mean, I think they might be great. I've just never tried. Have you?
No. My Argus is getting a custom set, and then my
he boy, would
Madness. Yeah, he would. He's a big gear guy. And then Mitch Gogan Madness. He just got his in ears, and I think it's also like kind of like a trend, if you will. But also I just have never tried them. But
yeah. I mean, as a DJ, you know, when you go see DJs and you're like, look, how's he mixing? No headphones on. And I'm sure they have, like, the little ones.
Yeah, down their ear, back and stuff.
Just wrapped around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To each his own. Just protect them. I don't care what you use. Just take care of your shit.
This is a good reminder for me because I've not been so great at that.
And I really?
Go to a lot of concerts. Yeah. So.
Gotta do it, bro. Gotta do it.
No one's brought anything up like that, so I'm
not too late. Not too late for you.
You spoke on that.
I mean, think about it. Like, a lot of these, you know, you guys are going to be doing this for a long time. You want to make sure you take care of your health, your body, but your ears, that's your, you know, just like your hands. Those are, like, big instrument for DJs.
Yeah.
You know, your eyes, whatever.
Literally, yeah. Wow.
So.
I liked where we went in terms of exchanging stories last time. I think we can go even more crazy, wilder, even deeper, more detail.
What you got? What you got?
I'm trying to think of like a topic. What is an event that you accomplished that you are incredibly proud of because maybe it was a big reach or challenge for you at the time? And at the end of the night, you're like, damn, I'm proud of myself. I just did that.
An event?
Like, yeah.
Anything?
Anytime. Huh. Yeah, an event you've DJed.
I mean, I've done some stuff where, you know, like, people are really happy after you're done and they're like, congratulating you. Yeah, I was dope set or whatever, whatever. But I think for me, it was more of like getting on a bigger stage and performing for more people. I felt more like, holy shit, that was a lot of people.
What stage was that?
I did an RSL game once, and I think it was like 17,000 or something in there that day.
Damn.
And I was nervous. I was super nervous because they don't even put you on the booth. They put you in the middle of the people. And I was doing
outside.
That.
Outside.
By where they sell all the food or whatever.
I've actually never been
like
there
right
before.
There. And you're, and there's like all hundreds of people you. Just, and then you're on the, you know, on the big Jumbotron. And
what were you spinning on?
Turntables. Sweet. I brought my turntables that day. And yeah, I was nervous. But when I was done, I was just like, you know, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. I opened for Snoop when he came out once, and that was just, that was amazing. That's when I was like, man, that's huge. I'm never gonna forget this day, you know.
That's badass.
Yeah,
man.
That was pretty dope. And he actually used some of my equipment because I had a laptop stand, and I think it was the tallest one out of all the DJs.
Uh-huh.
And you know, he's tall as hell, so he used mine.
And he played a DJ set.
Yeah, he played a DJ set on that one.
That's sick.
And I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's like, to me, I was like, that's pretty cool.
No, that's pretty chill.
Meeting some people that I look up to has always been nice, you know, and getting to be in the same stage with them, maybe not performing with them, but you know, like I grew up with like Common. Remember Common?
Yeah, yeah.
So I opened for him, and I got to meet him.
Bro,
before
that's cool.
When he was doing rehearsal, and I was just like, DJing, man,
this
like,
is real.
Music can take you anywhere, you know. this. It's
Common,
nice.
Common, bro. Wow.
Yeah, Common was cool. So just like having those like moments in my DJ career, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Those were just proud moments for me that I just, you know, when I feel like, you know, things can go low, I always remember like, at least, you know, we did that. That's pretty dope. Mm-hmm. A bucket list almost.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Do you ever like keep track or journal or, you know,
no.
Kind of record those?
No, I'm just, it's just all in my head. Yeah. And Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good journal.
Yeah.
Huh. That's dope.
Yeah, man.
Common, Snoop.
Yeah,
17,000
cool.
People.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, an opportunity came up and, you know, it was just in the moment.
You're being too humble.
Hey, man, I'm, you know, I'm nothing big. I just do what I do, like stay quiet and grind.
Huh.
I just grind for my family. So
I respect it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Anything else you want to share with the peeps?
Yeah, man. Can we talk about these Hoochie Daddy shorts you're wearing, please? Because, I mean, he's saying he doesn't know what that is, but I think he's lying.
I don't know.
I think he, like, did it on purpose, you know?
It's 103 degrees outside. I am a runner. I am comfortable. And my AC is broken in my car.
Sounds like excuses to wear these shorts today.
I've owned these shorts
for 4 years.
But I've
seen you in
those.
Every time you're out, I've seen you in those shorts. So I don't know what you're talking about.
The only time I'll wear pants nowadays is when I'm showing up to a wedding or when I'm at a wedding. I swear to God.
He's just over there laughing.
No, he's not.
Hey, bro.
They were making fun of my shorts earlier. This is definitely a sign that we need to wrap up the podcast. ladies and gentlemen, this is 49. A Behind Energy podcast. Speaking of just clothes, those socks, you can't really see them in camera, or if you can.
What?
I'm complimenting your socks. You got some dope socks. I don't know if the people can see them in camera.
I like socks,
and
man.
Some fire shoes. Also,
thank you.
I noticed that was Nike SB, not just Nike, and I love that.
We talked
I'm a
about
skateboarder.
This.
Yes.
I skateboard
yep.
too, man.
Yep. Oh, God, the shorts. Folks, that is going to be a wrap for Behind the Energy, part 2 with Chaboy Logic. Where can the people find you? We didn't even do that last episode. Where can we listen to the mixes if we want to get some of your energy on the dance?
You know,
floor.
I'm actually I lost access to a lot of my Mixcloud stuff, so I don't have anything on there. But I'm working on it. It's just at DJ Logic SLC.
All right,
on everything.
Dope.
Yeah, Logic with a K. And yeah, I mean, check me out on there.
Awesome.
DM me any questions
or everything on Instagram.
Yeah, everything on Instagram.
Okay, rock on.
Yeah, feel free to DM me whatever, any questions, whatever.
When are
I
you
usually
doing
reply to
brunch,
everybody.
Brunch again.
This weekend. Saturday this weekend. And Sunday I'll be at.
Saturday.
Sunday's Bez, Boomerangs.
Sweet.
On Saturday night. And then I got Flanker coming up too next week.
Flanker on Saturday?
No, I'm actually doing a Sunday.
Really?
Sunday there, yeah.
Oh, brunch.
I don't know. It's kind of like a late, like a 2 to 6, 2 to 7 shift. So I don't know. Is that still brunch?
It's a chillax evening with a nice drink or two and good vibes.
That's
what I would be looking for if I would go out. Folks, this is it. I'm gonna stop rambling now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We will catch you next week for episode 50 of Behind the Energy Podcast. As for now, go check out. Yeah, episode 50. I got it right. As for now, go check out my boy Logic. Awesome. That is a wrap. Thank you for listening and going behind the energy with me. If you loved it, thumbs up it. You can follow me on social media at Parker Andrees and check us all out at bringingtheenergy.com. As for now, we are signing off and I'll catch you next week for another episode. Peace.